Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover.
Across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
We're going to start the hour finding out a little bit more about Fleam Dyke, because an appeal to raise funds for the dyke, which is near Foulbourne, has raised almost £150,000. The Wildlife Trust says it now has enough funds to purchase a significant length of Fleam Dyke, together with the additional land needed to extend the habitat. Ian Webb is the Wildlife Trust's Community Conservation Officer in Cambridgeshire and is on the line now. Morning to you, Ian.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks for coming on. You must be pleased that you've been given the go-ahead for this, and particularly happy that the appeal has picked up so much support.
It is really, really delightful, actually. I've known the site for quite, nearly 30 years, and to know not just the local population, but people nationally are contributing to help preserve this really wonderful sort of wildlife site, but also archaeological site, is just really, really lovely to see that.
Well, what's so special about it?
What's so special about it? Well, yeah. It's a tiny sliver of chalk grass, and which would have extended between Royston and Newmarket up until a couple hundred years ago. So there have been extensive chalk grass, and these archaeological sites, which are difficult to farm, were left to be grazed by sheep and then by rabbits. And so these tiny, tiny amounts, found on Fleam Dyke, also Devil's Dyke, the Roman Road, just tiny little pockets of chalk grass, and which is one of the richest habitats in the UK, plant-wise. And being able to preserve it is fundamentally key to its survival, really, and the management, because it's a difficult site to manage. It's on a slope and it's long and thin. It has been very challenging for the previous landowners to manage it, and now the Trust can take on, with its experience of managing sites and the ability to engage with volunteers, local communities to help with that management, will really mean that something for that section that's being purchased, it will mean
preservation
for future.
Yeah, you say you've known it for the site for some 30 years. Has it changed much over that time? I guess places like this probably change over hundreds of years rather than over decades. But we know how, I guess, the natural environment around us is changing right now.
Yeah, it is changing a lot rapidly now. But from my experience, because up until the 50s, rabbits used to graze off any scrub that would try and grow on the dike, and because of myxomatosis, they disappeared. And so without management, without herbivores or people cutting the grass, the scrub would encroach. And when I knew it in the sort of mid-90s, a lot of it was virtually impenetrable, only kept open by the rights-of-way cut at the top. And over successive decades, there's been little pots of money have come up for major clearance work of the scrub, but there hasn't been that follow-up management that's necessary to keep it open and keep the grass from developing. But with, under the stewardship of the Wildlife Trust, that continuity of management is assured now, which is, for me, really, really reassuring. But also it's the idea of expanding the grassland, buying some extra arable land adjacent to allow that grassland to expand and those species to spread and their populations to increase. It's really very exciting.
And is it easy to buy the land? Is it just a matter of being, I don't know how much you would need, is it a matter of being, shall we say, nice to the farmer or the farmers who own the land adjacent to where the dike is?
Well, I had no involvement with the negotiations, so I don't know how, but it's very much part of creating or establishing sites, the need to allow those habitats to expand, because you have the more habitat you have, the greater the ability for those populations of plants, invertebrates, mammals and birds to respond to what happens, whether it be climatic changes or diseases and things like that. The larger population of things means those species are more robust, and it allows species to connect virtually next door to Foulbourne Fen Nature Reserve, which in itself is a vital area of grassland and woodland and marshy area. And if able to link those two up, that means species can move sort of fairly readily through the landscape. As the climate warms, species need to move north. But if there are barriers in the way, so extensive arable land or roads or whatever, then they're stuck and they cannot spread north. So the ability to link up these sites in the landscape is vital.
And does that sort of thing, I'm just thinking, you obviously wouldn't be planting anything there. You'd be, I guess, hoping that nature was to take its course, but presumably there may be some, if you like, movement of seeds, pollen or whatever between the two sites, which would ultimately encourage both?
Sorry, you're talking about between Forbornthen and Slean Dyke?
Yeah, is that possible? Are they close enough for that sort of thing to happen?
Yeah, definitely. It is. You know, the thing with nature is if you create the conditions, things will move. And it might be that it takes, you know, longer than we expect, you know, decades rather than years, but it will move. That, you know, that's how we've ended up with the species we've got, is after the last glaciation, things started moving north. And they, in their own time, got to where they got to. But now they're having to move again in a landscape quite affected by our management thereof.
And I guess the Wildlife Trust is a kind of organisation which is very much in this for the long term. It's not just a matter of doing it over, I don't know, a couple of years. You know, you're really looking ultimately decades ahead.
Oh, definitely. It is. That's, there is no quick fixes in nature, unfortunately. You do need to plan ahead, anticipate what was going to happen, and start communicating with, you know, local communities, local landowners, to talk about this in an honest way. Of, you know, if we want to preserve these habitats in the landscape, then we need to work together and have a great vision, and, you know, maybe have some compromise, but really make sure that everybody understands why it's being done, and not have that. You know, sometimes you can have unfortunate confusion and not. Misunderstanding of the reason for doing certain things, but as long as, you know, the communication is out there and highlighting the value of these sites as, you know, nationally important, hopefully we'll win hearts and minds and get people on site to see how beautiful they are.
And the archaeologists, they're not going to start digging it up or anything, are they?
Oh, far from it. They're you know, in the past, they've really been. Because the presence on scrub on archaeological sites is really damaging. The roots go into the archaeology, and if the trees topple over, that rips out the archaeology. It's really quite damaging.
Yeah.
So it's quite a wonderful kind of mix of interests combining together to preserve the site for its sort of physical features, but also its natural history interest as well.
Are there many sort of areas like this around Cambridgeshire, indeed, across the UK as a whole?
In Cambridgeshire, yes. Unfortunately, because, you know, we're very good at growing crops in this part of the world, the archaeological sites, as I mentioned earlier, are the ones that really do hold those sort of remnant areas of good habitat. Like I mentioned Devil's Dyke, the Roman Road, and other places like if you go into towards the Fens, like at Rampton, there's, I think it's Giant's Hill, there's a castle moat and things like that. It's really good for great crested newts. So a lot of archaeological sites are sort of remnants of habitats that were developed when those things were built, or subsequently when they've sort of been abandoned, and so because they're difficult to plow up, they're preserved. So archaeological sites and, you know, their wildlife, they are quite closely linked.
And in terms of, it's a tricky one really, because you don't want people trampling all over everything, but in terms of looking at the site, at least, is there the opportunity for people to do that?
Oh yeah, well there's the idea of reducing pressure on nature, because, you know, there isn't much, hopefully it's going to expand, but, you know, there are precious sites, certainly in South Cambridgeshire, and excessive footfall will damage it in some respects. But, you know, considerate visiting, there is a public footpath that goes all the way along the length of the Slean Dyke. I'd recommend going up to Bolsham and walking the length to Forborn. It is quite wonderful. You go over the sort of the uplands, if you can call it that, and you can look along the length of Slean Dyke and see Cambridge in the distance. It's really quite magical.
Sounds good. And I have to say, when autumn, I do kind of like an autumn walk. Not that I'm difficult to tell if autumn's actually coming at the moment, but I guess you are seeing signs of it out there.
Oh yeah, I'm out this morning actually, and there's some, you know, migratory birds coming south, sort of heading south for the winter. And yesterday morning, I was cycling my daughters to school, and it felt like a proper autumn morning. A bit of a chill in the air, and it felt really quite reassuring in some respects. So there isn't much colour in the leaves as yet, but
yeah, I guess that will come. I think last year the leaves hung around for quite a while. The lovely sort of gold, almost sort of like sort of New England, North American kind of goldenness about some of them. Maybe the same will happen this time around.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Ian, look, lovely to talk to you this morning. Really interesting. That's Ian Webb, who's the Wildlife Trust Community Conservation Officer in Cambridgeshire, talking about that purchase of Fleam Dyke by the Wildlife Trust. Ian, thanks very much.
Pleasure. Cambridge 105 Radio.